I don't know. We'll just get right into the Word of God. Revelations chapter 2. Amen. That's funny. Amen. I'm heading to the prison afterward. And so I've got a couple different messages that I'm preaching. So I turned to where we were going to minister in the prison. No, we're in Revelations chapter 2. So now we're over in the right place. Revelations chapter 2. God's got something for us today. We'll dive into God's Word. Amen. And be challenged. Be challenged. Amen. To draw closer to Him. Amen. Let's just dive right in. Let's pray. Amen. Ask the blessing on the Word. We ask you to bless your Word, God. God, bless the reading of God's Word. Let your Word go forth, God. Let your church be encouraged. Let your church be stirred, God. God, let your church have life. Life, God, to honor and to serve you and to give you the glory, Lord God. God, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Revelations chapter 2. Amen. Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to read. Let's just read Revelations chapter 2, verse 2. We'll read 2 through 5, amen, and then we'll get into the preaching of God's Word. The idea here today, if I'm to put a title on it, is fighting for malady, fighting for malady, amen. We'll figure out here in a second what that believes, but we got to fight for malady, amen. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Except thou repent. So Jesus is giving a message to one of the final churches. Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3 are the message to the different churches. This is the message to the church of Ephesus, a common one. We've heard it talked about before, many of us. At the beginning of this message, he encourages them and he says, I know thy works, okay? So they had works. So they had works. Works. What kind of works? Good works. Maybe helping the poor. Maybe giving to the needy. Maybe whatever works are. There's a lot of works that you can do that are good things. And the Bible says works are very, very important. But one thing we know is works are not salvation, right? Amen. The Bible says it's not of works lest any man should boast. Talking about salvation. It's not of works lest any man should boast. Because if we got to heaven based on our works, then why did we need Jesus? Why did he need to die on the cross? Why did he need to come down? The reality is we can never be good enough to be accepted in the eyes of God. So it's not of works. But the Bible says Jesus is kind of, this is Jesus speaking to this church. And he says, I know thy works. And then he says, thy labor. So thy labor. So when you're laboring, you're working. You're working at something. And if somebody's laboring, it's not just they labor for 5 minutes. I mean, wouldn't that be lovely? Go to work and your labor that day was 5 minutes worth of work. And then you can just do whatever. Just kick your feet up, Joni. Sister Oaks, make one sub. That's it. One sub. And make a day's worth of wages. And that would be a labor. But that word labor carries with it a continuous labor. Like you're laboring at doing something. And in my job, I have to move bales of hay. And I have to put them in the back of vehicles. And I often think to myself, I've worked a hay field before. Picking up them bales and stacking them in the sun, and then the hay pokes you and it's sticky, and it throwing hay on the back of a vehicle is an awful miserable thing. So that would be a labor to work at it all day in the hot sun and to work. So he was commending them. He says, I know thy works, I know thy labor, and thy patience. So that means they kept doing it. They kept the faith. They kept going forward. They kept working at what needed to work on. So they were doing okay. Amen. And how thou hast cannot bear them which are evil. So then they also were commended by the Lord because they didn't accept evil things. So they didn't go along with the crowd that was going against the word of God and doing things that weren't biblical. They stood against the things that were unbiblical and they resisted the evil that was in the world. That was also a good thing. That was also a good thing. Amen. Then you keep reading, and it says, "And how thou hast borne," in verse 3, "and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored." So they weren't just laboring good works; they were doing it for Christ's name's sake. And then at the end of the verse it says, "And they weren't feigning about it." So they kept doing good in the name of God. You know, there's people that do good, but it's not really in the name of God. It's just doing good because when we do good, we get recognized for the good most of the time, and it feels pretty good. But it's different when you do good for the Lord, and instead of taking the glory for yourself, you say, well, it was the Lord, it was for Him, and it was for His glory, and really all I am is His servant, and I'm not worthy of any glory that You would send my way. Doing it in the name of the Lord. So they were doing good works also in the name of the Lord, and the Lord commended them for that. Amen. And then it says in verse 4, nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And they kind of, you know, fell out of, they God wasn't the important thing to them anymore. And the Bible doesn't really tell us what the important thing was, but God wasn't the important thing. There was other things that were more important than Him, and maybe it was, maybe they were so worked up in the works, or they were so involved in doing this, or getting everything right. They loved their works, so maybe it was the works. And God, their heart really wasn't after God anymore. It wasn't after God anymore. So what we're going to talk about here today, we needed to go over that to set the foundation, is fighting formality. Fighting formality. What is formality? Formality is like you do something a certain way, and it becomes a routine, it becomes a ritual, it just becomes what you do. The best example of it is, you know, church. We come into church and going to church becomes a routine. And we all have our ways we get up. And we like it a certain way. And if a curveball gets thrown in the mix, it throws us all off because it throws our routine off. It throws our habits off. And so routines are not necessarily wrong, especially when they're good routines, right? So spiritual habits is what we're talking about. Spiritual habits are great. What are some spiritual habits that we ought to have as a Christian? Prayer, right? Bible reading, church attendance, fasting. Amen. Fasting is an important one. Listening to good Christian music. I'm doing good works. Them are spiritual habits. So for instance, different people, I like to read the Word of God and pray first thing in the morning because I'm a morning person and I just make sense for me to give God my very best. So I'll get up and I'll spend time reading God's Word and in there. And so spiritual habits are a good thing. But when a spiritual habit can very easily turn into spiritual formality, because spiritual formality is bad. Spiritual formality is bad. So what is spiritual formality? Because that's really what I felt the Lord wanted us to talk about today. Spiritual formality is when our spiritual practices lose their meaning and become mindless. Lose their meaning and become mindless. You know, I'm in no way making fun of any church. I don't believe that's okay to do that. But there are certain people that would say the same thing. And hey, let's just pick on us for a second. We sing songs, and we try to sing a variety of songs, some fast, some slow, some this, some that. But some of the songs we sing numerous times, and we all know them by heart, and we all sing them numerous times. So, and that's good. That's good. We have them memorized. Amen. But when you find yourself singing a song and thinking about dinner, that's a formality. And what a formality is, it becomes so comfortable and something you do all the time that it loses its meaning. So that's the difference between a spiritual habit and a spiritual formality. Amen. Because if I sit down to read the Word of God, and this is something you got to work at and you got to practice, but if I sit down to read the Word of God and I'm thinking about something else that needs done throughout the day, and I'm thinking about what I need to do, and I'm so consumed that I can read a chapter and then be like, if I would ask myself, what was that about? It would be like, well, I'm not sure what that was about. Like, I really don't remember. Or 2 minutes later, and one of the things that I do to fight formality, and we're going to get into this a little bit more, but fighting formality, one of the things that I do to fight formality is if I'm reading the Word of God, and then I like to stop periodically, and one of the things I've trained myself to do was, what would you just read? And so there'll be times where I'll be reading, and I'll be like, wait a minute. Like, I'm not really focused here. And I will stop, and I will go back, and I will reread. There are times when I've reread the same portion 5 times because my mind was not focused on the reading. And it was almost like I was disciplining myself and scolding myself. I'm not just reading to read a chapter. You know, some people, they read. Wow, I read 20 chapters today, which is good. But if none of it was meditated upon, was thought about, was read, and you were really looking at the text, because it's not always easy, right? Because sometimes we're busy, we got to get stuff done, and we open up the Word of God, and we start reading the Word of God, and all right, now let me pray a little bit. Okay, time to start today because I got a lot to do. And really it was useless because it was formality. So fighting formality. Amen. When our spiritual practices lose their meaning and become mindless. Our walk with God needs to become fresh again. Amen. We stopped on verse 4. Read verse 5. Amen. Verse 5 in Revelation chapter 2. Amen. Excuse me. It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. So the candlestick, that means he will remove the church out of its place if they don't repent. Except thou repent, it says. So repent thee therefore. So what we need is our walk with God needs to become fresh again. And when you first get saved and you first give your heart to the Lord, you're pretty excited because you found the living way. You found a God that died on the cross for you, that forgave your sins, that puts purpose and meaning and hope back in your life. You found Christian fellowship. You found purpose. And now you can live your life for the glory of God, and you can do good works, and you can get to know more of God by reading the Bible. You can spend time praying with Him. You can worship Him. You can listen to Christian music and worship with it and testify of the good things of God, and it puts in your heart a desire to do good things. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about a fire where you got desire and you got hope and life come into you. And when once you were dead, the Bible says, now you have become made alive, and now there's hope, and now there's energy, and now there's enthusiasm. And when you first get saved, it's there. Why? Because you love God, and God is first in your life, and you just go right ahead. But then as you serve God for a while, I mean, I think we've all experienced it, you got to fight formality. Because we come to church, we go to church Wednesday morning, we go to church or Wednesday night, we go to church Sunday morning, we go to church Sunday night. You know, some of us, you know, go to church on fellowship Friday night, youth group is also on Friday night, and you know, it just becomes routine. I always read my Bible in the morning. I pray at a certain time. You know, I listen to good Christian music, but do I ever stop and think about the lyrics? Amen. Do I ever stop and think about the lyrics? You know, I do good works, but I do them just because we've got to fight for malady. I mean, how does it become fresh again? Amen. How do I accomplish this of keeping it fresh in my life? Because Jesus kind of rebuked them. He said, You've done all kinds of good works. You've done a lot of good things. But Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus. He turned to them in verse 4 and says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. What do you mean they left their first love? They were doing good works. They were laboring with patience. They were resisting evil. They were doing it in the name of God. They didn't faint while they were doing it. What do you mean they left their first love? Their heart wasn't for Jesus anymore. Their heart wasn't for Jesus anymore. And the Bible said that when they do that, they were in danger of falling away from the faith. That's what it says in verse 5. They were in danger of falling away from the faith unless they repented. So how do I accomplish keeping things fresh in my life? How do I accomplish it? You got to start with repenting. A hard reset. A hard reset. Brian, he works with electronical stuff. He is very electronical. And I'm not very electronical, and computer stuff and that kind of stuff just confuses me and frustrates me. And when my computer's going to fritz or my phone's going to fritz, what do? This is my go-to. A hard reset. So what does a hard reset mean? You hold, this might not even be the right thing. I don't know. Maybe it's not the right thing, but you hold down the power button and the whole thing shuts down, and then when it starts up, hopefully it's acting normal again. That's your go-to. So kind of a reset where everything stops and the thing's able to reset. So us as human beings, sometimes we need a hard reset, right? Like a timeout, a pause. Like, and sometimes, let's be honest, that's tough because we've got jobs. You know, if we're taking care of kids, if we've got other responsibilities, and life goes on, and shopping and cooking and all kinds of stuff, sometimes it's hard for a hard reset. But it's not impossible, because God wants us, and the first thing that you need to do for a hard reset is repent. When you realize that your love for God is becoming cold, it's becoming cold, it's you don't have that first love feeling anymore, that desire, that's when in your mind you got to say, okay, something needs done. And the first thing I need to do is apologize to the Lord for not loving Him and putting Him first in life. Does that mean you've fallen from grace? No. But that means you're in danger of it. And so you need to kind of stop, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to love You. My heart, my desire is there to love You, and you repent. And we know that repenting, like, is really, there's three steps of repenting. The first part is becoming aware of your sin. The second one is becoming emotionally sorry for your sin. But the third part of repentance, and a lot of people ignore this part, is actually turning from your wrongdoing, turning from your sin. So if you repent because you don't love the Lord as much as you once did, you know, then you're going to turn and you're going to make an effort to love Him more like you did when you were first. But it takes effort, takes work, okay? Takes effort and work. So the first part is repenting. Let's do a story to help us with this illustration from the Bible. Story from the Bible. We're not going to turn there, but I believe most of you are familiar with it. So we're going to lay the framework of the story. So Jesus spent 3.5 years in His ministry. Who followed Jesus around for 3.5 years? His disciples. His disciples, especially the 12 that were close to Him. They spent 3.5 years. Could you imagine? Like, you talk about, I went to Bible school for 3 years and I got a hard course. They walked with the living Word of God. You know, I studied and we study the Word of God. you know, the word, the living word. But they walked with the flesh and blood, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And so they walked around with him for 3 years. It was an incredible experience that became normal. Whenever you do something long enough, it becomes normal. We used the word formality a little bit ago, but it becomes normal. Okay? It was normal. They seen Jesus feed the multitude two times. At least two times. The Bible only records two times, but he might have multiplied the bread multiple times. They seen Jesus heal people multiple times. They seen Jesus go aside and pray multiple times. Many times, I believe, some of the times he would take the disciples with them, teaching them how to pray. Teaching them. They heard the messages of Jesus. They saw the miracles. They seen the good works. They saw all that. And you think, if there was ever a people that should have been on fire for God, it would have been the disciples. However, we know that was not necessarily true. We go to the end of the 3.5 years. Jesus is getting ready to be hung on the cross, and we find ourselves in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus senses that something is getting ready to happen, and Jesus goes to the garden to pray, and he is agonizing. Like, have you ever been in a church meeting where the environment and the atmosphere was charged because somebody was really getting a hold of God? Whether it was somebody singing a song or somebody worshiping God or somebody praying, and somebody meant business. And it looks different ways. It doesn't always have to look of somebody, oh God. Sometimes it can be quiet. But you walk in the room and you're like, whoa. Somebody is getting a hold of God. Somebody is pressing in. Somebody is reaching out. Somebody is hungry for more of God. So the Garden of Gethsemane, I don't think I'm out of line by saying the atmosphere was spiritually charged. And sometimes they're like, it's much easier for us to get in there when the atmosphere is spiritually charged. And sometimes, you know, circumstances in our life, you know, cause us to be hungry for the things of God, and them are times where we can really get in there because there's a hunger there inside our heart. There's a hunger inside our heart. Amen. But the disciples, their incredible experience with Jesus for 3.5 years had become normal. It was normalized. They had been with him for 3.5 years, but it was so normal for them to see a miracle. It was so normal for them to hear the teaching of Jesus. It was so normal for Jesus to go a little distance from them, not far, they could hear him, and pray. That was normal. So we find ourselves in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is praying, and his disciples are sleeping. They're sleeping. It was a charged atmosphere. It was a spiritually charged atmosphere, and they were sleeping. So what had happened, exactly what we've been talking about, is they lost focus of the purpose and the meaning. The purpose and the meaning. Formality had set in. Meaning it didn't mean anything. So how, like, meditate on this for a second. Jesus was the Son of God. They were with Jesus. Jesus was praying in such a way, he was probably wailing. The Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And the disciples are sleeping. You see how formality could come in, and once formality grips your heart and grips your mind, you know, you don't even feel the spiritual charge. You don't even feel like, hey, somebody else is getting a hold of God, and you're just dead. And that's what was happening in the book of Revelation chapter 2, is they were doing everything right, but the spiritual, like, they didn't love Jesus like they once did. Amen. They lost focus, and they lost purpose. They lost meaning. They lost meaning. Amen. So let's talk just for a second in closing today on the stirring in the garden. The stirring in the garden. So there was a stirring happening in the garden. You can't tell me there wasn't. I mean, you got Jesus praying. Somebody prays the house down. And everybody, you know, gets stirred, but not everybody responds to the stirring. So Jesus, the Son of God, was praying the house down. He was really, really praying. That was a charged atmosphere. The spiritual charge was created by our Lord intentionally seeking something from the Father. So that's the key. You've got to intentionally seek something from the Father. You got to intentionally seek something from God. So if you find yourself kind of being stuck in formality, you know, well, I'm praying because I always pray. I'm going to church because I always go to church. You know, but when I really think about it, I'm really not thinking. It really has kind of lost its meaning. I sing songs, but, you know, I have a hard time focusing on them, and they kind of lost their real meaning. You know, at one point, they would sing this one song, and I would cry. But now, they sung it the other day, and I just kind of, I was thinking about what was for dinner. You know, this kind of happens to all of us where formality kind of sets in and things lose their meaning. And the first thing we need to do is have a hard reset, you know, where we kind of stop, realize it, repent, and then we need to, you know, get intentional about it. You know, get intentional about it. You know, realizing that the meaning isn't there, and now I'm going to get intentionally about seeking the Father. So Jesus went to the garden intentionally seeking the Father. That's kind of just like something you decide in your mind. Let's talk for a second about arranging a special meeting with God. Do you need to arrange a special meeting with God? In this sense, you do. You do, because if just, you know, doing the normal thing, it's spiritual habits are okay to read your Bible. Even if it's at a certain time, that's okay. Spiritual habits of praying, spiritual habits are good. But when they become formality and they lose their meaning and you're starting to lose your first love and you realize it, you need to have a hard reset and you need to call a special meeting with God. Lord, I need a special meeting. I need a special meeting, a Bible reading meeting, a Bible reading meeting, a prayer meeting. A worship meeting, a time of fasting before the Lord. Like, what do I mean by that? I mean, okay, I am going to intentionally think in my mind, this time belongs to the God. And the first thing I probably ought to do is grab my phone, and I probably ought to put it on silent, way far away, because I'm having an intentional meeting with God. I am going there because I need to meet with Him. Amen. So you do the same thing with the Word of God. Okay, you know, I'm going to get something from the Word of God today. Have you, sometimes when we enter reading the Word of God, we don't always like enter, like I'm going to get something from the Word of God. It's in my heart today. God wants to speak to us every day. God doesn't want to speak to me today, so He might get something. I might not get something. It's all up to God. No, God wants to speak to you today. So I'm going to the Word of God. I'm going to read, and God is going to speak to me through the Word of God. An intentional meeting, a special meeting with God in prayer, in Bible reading, in worship, amen, in our church attendance, where we go to the house of God. I am going today to meet Jesus because I need to meet Jesus. Like, because He can help me, and I'm growing cold in my heart and I've lost my first love, and Jesus can help me. So I'm intentionally going to church today on Sunday morning to meet God. I mean, so I don't know where you're at, but I know my own life, and I know there's been times of formality. I go to church on Sunday because we go to church on Sunday. Go to church on Wednesday because we go to church on Wednesday. You know, my most best time of me, some people it's at night, that'd be my wife. For me, I'm most alert and focused in the morning. So that's the time I try to, but it could become I just read my Bible in the morning time. So read my Bible in the morning time. And I've read portions of Scripture and I'm thinking nothing. Because it wasn't an intentional meeting. It wasn't in my heart. Jesus, that morning, was not my first love. Right? I don't think I'm wrong by saying that. He was not my first love. He was not my first love. So our meetings with God, you know, fasting is an important one. Fasting is kind of, that's also part of the hard reset, where you are going to deny yourself some of the things that you always do with the purpose of focusing in on the things of God, focusing in on prayer, focusing in on reading the Word of God, focusing in on the things of God, you know, praying about the issues in your life, focusing in. That's sort of like, okay, Lord, you're very important. And if he's very important, that's kind of your first love, right? Because when he was very important, he was your first love. And your first love is very important. So you're focused in, and fasting is sort of also that hard reset. But let me say this. Our special meeting with God could be 5 minutes, and it could be all day, and both are okay. If you've got a hole in your schedule, and God wants you to spend a day of really fasting and praying and reading your Bible, and that's good, but 5 minutes is, if that's what you got, if you want to intentionally meet God in them 5 minutes, you can. And you'll find that you actually have a lot of 5 minute gaps in your day. You know, some of them might be at work, some of them might be at home, some of them might be where you have a 5 minute hole. And so really, you can spend 5 minutes 10 times a day and give the whole day to God. Because when you spend that time intentionally seeking God, God's Spirit begins to move inside of you and makes you aware of spiritual things, and it creates a hunger in your heart. The atmosphere becomes charged. Charged, electric. You know, if someone is to grab hold of an electric fence, I don't recommend it. But if you were to grab hold of an electric fence, woo, you feel it. So if you intentionally grab a hold of God, there's no way you're not going to feel it. There's no way you're not going to feel his strength and his power and his might and his authority and his ability rise up inside of you because you intentionally sought him. Not for all that, just simply because you love him and he's first in your life. Amen. So wrapping this up today, don't say, I can't have an all-day meeting, so what's the point? You know, sometimes we could say that. I don't have time. I got a lot going on. So, like, a hard reset's impossible. Like, breaking formality's impossible just because of the circumstances of life. No, it's not. Whenever anyone intentionally seeks the Lord, our former pastor, Pastor Leonard Eastman, would say, we can create an atmosphere for supernatural things to occur. And how do you do that? By intentionally seeking and worshiping the Lord. God can do incredible things, and he wants to. Amen. So there is a point. So don't let that idea slip into your head. What's the point? Amen. And the last thing here. When you do this, though, be prepared. The enemy will fight such a meeting because he understands a fresh stirring will come out of such a meeting. So when you determine in your heart, and I've had it happen to me, I am getting a hold of God today. Let me give you a funny example. So, food. I love to eat. And it seems like whenever I make my mind up that I'm going to fast, the most wonderful thing is put in front of me. The enemy has something to do with that. And so it's going to take sacrifice, but be prepared because the enemy will fight such an intentional meeting because he understands a fresh stirring will come out of it. I want a fresh stirring to be able to weep in the presence of the Lord, to be able to feel him, to be able to let my love for him radiate. And there's no doubt in my mind that I love God just as much as the day I came up to the altar or wherever I did it, I gave my heart to God. I love God just as much today, maybe even more, because sometimes we don't feel like it. But when a meeting like that, an intentional meeting with God, that'll be the result of it. I mean, it'll stir. It'll speak into you. Sister Oaks, if you want to come to the piano. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to pray. We're going to sing a song here in a minute. Do you want that? Arrange a special meeting with God. Arrange it. put it down. And when the enemy comes in and comes fighting, there'll be many reasons why you can't do it. Nope, 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 nope. Today, I'm going to have a special meeting with God. It's time, it's time. Amen. Lord God, we come before you today. Lord God, that now is the time. Now is the time. Lord, that we are going to have a special meeting with you. That we're going to call upon you. That we're going to wait on you, Lord. That we're going to look to the mighty hand of our God. That we're going to find that you're an ever-present help in the time of trouble, Lord. God, stir our hearts. Stir our hearts, Lord. Stir our hearts. Oh, let that be your desire this morning. God, stir my heart. Lord, put a hunger inside of me. Oh, Lord, I want more of you. God, I need more of you. More of your power. More of your might. More of your authority. Hallelujah. Oh, let's sing.